May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to follow up on a scripture that I taught from on Tuesday and then look at the one that Bracken just read from Matthew. I've been hanging out a lot this week just by direction in Ephesians chapter 6. And these are the verses that I read on Monday, and so we have to look beyond that and just the whole slave-master issue and just see a biblical principle. It says in verse 5, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men-pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him." So again, transcending the whole issue of slavery, and Paul tells him, and again in 1 Corinthians 7, if you can be free from your condition. But just the idea that if you're a slave, then your master controls your life. It's the condition you find yourself in Christ. And so your heart responsiveness is not to him or the circumstance or the situation that you're in, but your heart responsiveness is to the Lord, responding to the one. And he contrasts two masters here. That master, it could be a person or an employer or a situation that you're in. We talked about that Tuesday. But he contrasts that with a master in verse 9, and both their master and yours. Well, that master is the one who controls my life. That master is the one who sits on the throne decreeing what must take place. Again, I don't understand free will and God's sovereignty. I don't. Nobody else does either. I just know they're both realities. And I know that there's one who sits on the throne who decrees what must take place. And yet man can make choices that create all kind of messes in this fallen world. But he says the issue is, in everything, is remember that there's a master greater than any other master, circumstance, relationship, whatever. And our real issue is that in every situation, in every circumstance, is a heart responsiveness to him. He says, don't pay attention to second causes and circumstances. But he says, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, respond to Christ. Not with eye service, not faking, not going through the motion, but as slaves of Jesus. See, that's the real issue. We're slaves of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service to the Lord, and knowing. That whatever good each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Knowing that reality. You see, here's the issue. God's not really concerned about how big a ministry is. We stand before the Lord. He's not going to judge our hearts based on our lives at the judgment seat of Christ, which isn't a judgment of rejection and condemnation. But it's not going to be God testing how many people you minister to, how big your ministry were, how famous you were, all those kind of things, how impressed everybody was with you. What he's going to want to know is, what did you do for love? Heart responsiveness to him. Not how big your ministry was, but how big was your heart responsiveness to him? Did you live your life as a slave of Christ, responding to him in absolute surrender in every situation and circumstance that you're in? When he says the scripture, knowing that there is a reward, both in this life, Paul said, and in the life to come. Now, if we really believe that, do we really believe that? We often pray, oh God, I want to see your favor in my life at a higher level than ever before. I'm not prepared to just live with acceptance and affection. I want to know favor. But many people are just willing to shuffle their way through eternity without any intention of being fully obedient to God. Not rendering service to him from the heart. Not a faking obedience. Not just, I'm going to go through the motions, but a heart sincerity, a place where you respond in every situation with trembling and fear because you know this counts. and with sincerity of heart. Not just going through the motions, but actually giving yourself gladly. Again, we've said this before, Mother Teresa's thing. Take what he gives in your life and give what he takes with joy in your heart, or it doesn't count. If there's not joy in your heart, it doesn't count. In the Matthew 7 passage, he says, what Bracken read without me reading again, I'm a charismatic. I'm going after everything that Jesus has to offer. I want to see every person I pray for get healed. I'm going after that. But sometimes charismatics forget that that's still not the most important thing to him. The scripture says the most important thing to him is that we hear his words and do them. That we live a life of obedience that comes from our heart, not one of reluctance, not one that complains, but rendering a service to him, an act of worship and love and affection to him. That's what matters. He said, because you can prophesy and do all kinds of miracles, but if your life isn't marked, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's just exchange the word obedience to love. He's saying this, he said, loving me is the most important thing. And if your life isn't built on loving me by heart responsiveness to every situation, circumstance, and order, if you don't have the attitude, again, the Song of Solomon chapter 1, when she says, Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your commandments. I want to please you so bad. I want to express my love to you so much that your commandments are like kisses to me. There are no complaints here. There's a delight in doing your will. And he says, that's building your house on a rock, because the storms will come in a fallen world. And if your house is built on love, responsiveness to him, he says, it'll stand. But if your house is built on signs and wonders, as much as we're going after them, we have to have first things first. We can't get the cart before the horse. If your heart and your walk with the Lord is going after miracles, he said, when the storm comes and it does seem to be a miracle happening, you'll be like sitting on sand and your whole house, spiritual house, will fall in. May God help us understand. Help me understand that what God's looking for is a heart responsiveness, sincerity, no phoniness, not I'm going to do it, but I don't like it stuff. With fear and trembling, knowing that it counts, everything counts, now and in eternity. He records it all. He releases favor in response to all. That's what really matters. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.